listening to Channel Radio. It's 1 o'clock. Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello. Bonjour.
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 How are you? How's your eggs?
Well, of course, we've had a... I was just thinking as I drove in, Paul Andrews, that... Because my new husband is non-religious but Jewish, and I am non-religious but Christian, and our youngest was brought up to be a Christian,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So
got
he didn't get the snip,
right?
We didn't. We kept him intact, if you know, if you know what I mean.
I'm sure he wants everyone to know.
We didn't want a Prince Charles on him, and so we have all sorts of celebrations. So I got my new husband, because it's Pesach as well at the same time.
It is, yeah.
So I got my new husband. They don't have anything anything leavened, so they have unleavened.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got him some Manny's Chewits, which are blessed by the rabbi and everything. Right. So we've had a lovely weekend of eating Manny's Chewits little crackers. And then, of course, he gets an Easter egg as well, my new husband. He had a very posh, I got him a lint.
Did you? Did you get one?
No, I didn't, because I bought myself some Freesias. But my new husband doesn't think about things like that. He doesn't think about Easter eggs. It's just not in his psyche. I mean, he bears Christmas.
Yeah.
He gets through that. I get a Christmas present, but I don't get an Easter egg.
Yeah. Well, we don't either.
Not one?
No, not one.
Did you have a little hunt with Lucy?
No, because Lucy, our daughter, doesn't eat chocolate. She just doesn't like
it. She's like the perfect child.
Let's not get carried away.
I've never met a child that doesn't eat chocolate.
Yeah, she just... dislikes chocolate intensely will not eat it. So there's no point in buying it. Amanda's still got 8 boxes of chocolates left from her birthday 3 weeks ago, and nobody bought me anything. So so that's it.
We used to have, when the kids were young, we used to have Easter egg hunts and you know, hide them everywhere, up trees and things.
Yeah.
And that was good. But we had, of course, really nice, quite nice weather, didn't we?
It was lovely.
Yeah. I think I'm losing track, but I think Saturday was good. Mm. I've got a little heap of clothes on my dressing table stool because my lovely cleaner's there today. She hasn't been for about a month because of, you know, I didn't let her come when we had COVID and stuff. And I just said to it, ignore the pile of clothes because the weather was quite changeable. Mm-hmm. So one minute I'm in shorts, next minute I'm in dungarees, next minute I'm in a jumper. So the pile just got bigger because I thought no point putting them away because every 5 minutes you're changing. But that is April, isn't it?
That is April all over.
I was trying to think, because March comes in like a lion and goes out like a antler or something. That's it. What does April do?
Showers.
Oh, yeah, showers.
April showers.
Yeah, but as we're in a drought area now,
we
didn't get many showers,
did
we? So I cooked my famous hogget.
Right.
On the big green egg. So the big green egg was a huge expense, but if you remember last year, my new husband was 50.
Right, but I'm intrigued by this big green egg.
Yeah.
How does it differ from a barbecue, or is it just a barbecue with a silly name?
Oh no, it's the business. You'll have to come round. I'll do you a bit of hogget.
Just tell me what it is now.
Well, it's a bit technical, Paul Andrews.
Oh, right.
And because I don't actually cook on it, it's my new husband, because I bought it for my new husband to play
what
with.
What powers it? What is it?
It's charcoal-y things.
It's a barbecue.
Yeah, but it isn't. It's more than a barbecue because it's got a little funnel and it gets very technical. It changes all the heat things and all the temperature, and you burp it. So you lift it up and burp it. And of course, if you lift it, you know, he goes mad if I try and lift up the lid to check what's happening because you're releasing the heat. And you never have to clean it. This is why I really like the idea, because it burns it off at such a high heat. So yeah, Big Green Egg was his big 50th because we couldn't do anything. And for Christmas, I got him the outdoor mahogany table that it sits in.
Okay.
Like a Big Green Egg.
It actually has a cutout for it, does it?
Yeah. Okay. It's like Humpty Dumpty.
Anyway, you lost track there. So you cooked a hogget in your big green egg.
Big Green Egg, and sat in the garden. It was delicious. And my mother came, except with her gnashers. You see, elderly people, and they got false teeth. Has your mum got false teeth?
Mm-hmm.
She can't really chew lamb. So why don't they make false teeth sharper?
It's not that they...
She says,
that's not the problem, is it? And not that I've got false teeth, I haven't. But the problem is that you can't chew because they're loose.
They do flap about sometimes, their teeth.
Well, there's no way of securing them enough to chew on stringy meat. That's the problem.
You call it my hogget stringy?
Well,
it was lovely.
All meat's stringy.
It was very, very nice. Anyway, so what she did was, being a typical pensioner, she said, I can't reach it. So she said, I'll take it home and I'll cook it with some, you know, lovely gravy. And in other words, she's going to stew it for about 10 hours.
Yeah.
So I put it in a little porcelain thing for her to take home. She's going to do it with gravy for 100 hours. But I do think, so you say it's the flapping about that causes the long chewing. Because I know she has to, when she's eaten, she has to adjourn to the powder room to re-glue them.
Yeah. Well, that's it. They come away, doesn't it? It's why dentists don't recommend false teeth any longer, isn't it? Really?
You haven't got much choice, though, have you? You've got to have the implants.
You have implants, is what they really try to get you to.
She's got a couple of implants.
Yeah, they try to get you to have implants now, which is fine if you've got the bone structure for it.
And the money.
And the money, that's true. Although my dentist was trying to tell me at one stage that I don't have either. I don't have false teeth or implants. But he was trying to say to me at one stage, implants are cheaper than false teeth. Really?
Can't be. You've got all the maintenance. You have to have them cleaned properly and everything.
Anyway, that's no kind of conversation to have on a business show anyway, is it?
Well, of course. Dentist is a business, of course.
Well, it is, yeah. It's a very lucrative business if you're on the right side of it.
I think I've told you this before. Back in the day when I was a dental nurse, I was 15, working with Alexei Solo, a lovely Russian-Australian dentist that I worked with, straight from school. And when I was older and I worked in Harley Street, I was good, you know, I was a very good dental nurse. Because you have to anticipate, you have to work with that dentist.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you've got to anticipate what he wants before he asks for it.
Do you want a hammer?
Yeah.
Do you want a saw?
Yeah, exactly. Sharpen those false teeth. So I wanted to be a hygienist because I could see that was more money for me. But I had no O-levels, so I could never be a hygienist. Isn't that awful?
Yeah, you can't clean teeth without O-levels.
Without going to... And really, it's quite easy. It's just I've watched them. All they do is get a little pick.
Well, you can buy your own now. I've got my own.
Well, there you are. Now you tell me, if I could borrow your set, I could just do it in my garage and just have patients couldn't I? Little sideline.
I've got one of those ultrasonic screwdriver things.
Yeah, and do you do it?
I do.
I find flossing very boring. You're supposed to floss every day. See Gemini. I start doing it and I just think, oh, this is so boring. Is there anything more boring than flossing?
I don't floss, so I don't know.
Don't you floss?
No, I use teepee sticks.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Every day.
You have to get all different levels of those.
I have a complete set of every colour of teepee stick known to man. They also do, let me tell you while we're talking dental here.
Yeah.
They also...
Dental business, of course.
As well as the teepee sticks original, they now do soft versions of every colour.
What is a soft version?
The soft versions are softer than the hard versions. So they don't hurt your gums
as much. These little plastic things with a little bit of floss across them?
Well, no.
Or are they the things that you shove through on the lip with a little wire, furry thing?
Yeah, the little furry things.
That's what you use.
Yeah. And what they've got now is what they call a soft option. So the furry thing isn't as bristly as the more furry thing.
Mm.
I use those every day. I think they're brilliant.
And you don't get bored doing it?
Well, I'll get bored doing it because it takes ages. But
I know, you just have to stand in front of the mirror.
But you get really clean teeth out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I find it quite useful to keep a little bit of meat up there for, you know, in case you're ever hungry.
That'd be gross.
Couple of days later, you know. But also, it does splash the mirror, doesn't it? As a woman, you know, I mean, over my COVID period, which is a couple of weeks when lovely Amy didn't come, I was polishing my mirrors because the new husband, when he flosses, he flicks his...
I don't want to know. I don't want to know about that.
It's saliva all over the mirror.
No, the worst thing is when you shave, isn't it? You get shaving cream all over it.
Yeah, he doesn't shave anymore.
Oh, he's got
a beard.
Have you
not seen his pictures?
Yeah, I've seen him. He was at our house a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but he looks like a caveman now.
I know he does. He looks like Dave Grohl.
Yeah, I keep saying, yeah, without the talent.
Yeah.
I keep saying...
Oh, that's not nice.
No, he's got other talents, my new husband. I mean, he's an author, of course. You've got
I've got both of his books, yeah.
By your bedside?
No, they're not by no bedside. They're in my library because I've read them.
Well, talking of books, I think later on today we have a guest who's also an author.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a funny thing going on here because our first guest is a pre-record, the lovely Pam Lock from Lock Associates.
Lock?
And then our second guest, Malcolm Palmer of A4G Chartered Accountants, he's had a bit of car problem this morning. So he is coming, but he's coming by train and he won't be here until later. So he's going to join us in the second half of the show.
Well, let's hope that the trains are on time.
Yeah.
And he can get
a cab.
Yeah.
From the station.
Yeah, exactly.
It's our old mate Ken Lloyd's birthday today.
Yeah.
So I want to say massive, massive happy birthday to the lovely Ken Lloyd.
Have a lovely, lovely time. I bet he's going to be in his garden. And lovely Nina, she's a great cook, Mrs. Lloyd, and she will cook for him something gorgeous. Mm. I will pop round and see him later with a little bottle of something. Mm. I went to the Good Shed over the weekend to get a fish.
No, you haven't been to the Good Shed, have you?
Yeah, I went to get a fish. I can't remember what the fish was. I thought it was a bass, but it wasn't. It was something else, my new husband said. So he put that on the big green egg. Delicious. And they had a lot of new talent at the Good Shed. So they've got Roman, lovely Roman, who is a juicer. So he had a whole juice bar.
These are new stands.
Yeah. What did I call them?
No, you said talent.
Oh, yeah. So he's got, he offered me, I had a turmeric and ginger. You'd have loved that. And pear. It was very pleasant.
All in one?
Yeah.
All in the same thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Turmeric, ginger and pear.
Yeah. Very nice. It was. I think there was a bit of... You don't really like that sort of thing, but I love that sort of thing.
I can't stand it. Yeah.
You see, you'd hate to live with me. I juice 5 days a week. And the new husband, you know, he likes it.
My Lucy, she juices almost every day, but it's always the same thing. It's always mango. But
can you juice a mango?
Oh, she does.
Really?
Yeah.
I just eat them in the bath.
Yeah. She juices mango and melons and stuff like that.
That's nice. She has
a juice every day.
And you won't have it?
I can't stand that kind of stuff. No. Mm.
Well, anyway, so Roman was there and that was beautiful. And who else was there? There was a lovely honey lady with bees, Kentish bees.
Right.
So she was selling little cake things made out of honey.
Honey cakes.
Yeah. Mm. And she also had some beautiful jars of honey and all sorts of propolis things, you know, medical things made out of bees, honey. Mm. So that was nice. It was good. And it was bustling. It was heaving.
All right.
Yeah, which annoyed me a bit because I like to go and, you know, I'm used to chatting to everybody and having a bit of space. And there were all these tourists there.
It's interesting, talking about honey. Honey never goes off for a start, ever. Do you see they found a pot of it in the ruins in Pompeii? Right?
How old, 2,000 years old. Yeah.
And they took a spoonful of it because they said it was perfectly edible.
Wow, delicious.
Over 2,000 years. But honey, vinegar and spider's webs are the ultimate original medical kit.
What would the spider's web do?
They use, because it's sticky,
okay.
They used it to apply things and used it in lieu of stitches.
Well, this is amazing because, you know, I do like all these natural remedies. Mm. And I, as you know, I've got my little homeopathy kit that I take for my AstraZeneca damage. But spider's web, I mean, I'm going to have to investigate.
It was used.
So you could put it in your hair, couldn't you, if you wanted to punk your hair up or something?
Yeah, yeah, but spider's webs are sticky and they used the stickiness of it to stick things on because you didn't have plasters and stuff like that.
Yeah, because if ever you walk outside and you walk through a spider's web, it really is sticky, isn't it? You can't get it off your off your being.
Yeah.
So must have been how many years old from Pompeii? That's
2,000 years, yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, yeah. Wow. I expect they were bathing in it and put it on their skin as
on
well.
On a donkey's ass or something.
Yeah, in donkey's ass milk. And who might our sponsor be?
I don't think they want to be associated with us so far, to be perfectly honest.
Is it a dentist?
No. To be quite frank, it is the lovely folks at Talis IFA. For all your pension and investment needs, Talis IFA are the people to check out. TalisIFA.com.
Oh, well, they need to fill in their bio, because I was having a look this morning and it doesn't say on their Twitter bio exactly what they do. Mm. And that ties in really nicely with our guest later on, the accountant, I believe. Yep. And Twitter's busy, so I'm sure a lot of you are still swanking around on holiday. But we have the lovely Tracy, who's not sure what day it is, but she's listening. She's the owner of Plucky's World.
I don't think any of us know what day it is. It's always the same after a bank holiday, isn't it? You kind of...
I'm having to get myself into gear today, I have to admit, because I'm still in sort of Easter egg lolling in a hammock mode.
Right.
But she's the owner, Tracy Ferguson. She's the owner of Plucky's World. You can find her on @Tazy with a Z, TAZI64. And she likes to start conversations. She supports self-awareness and personal growth. She's a Prince's Trust mentor. And she says the time to do what you love is now. And I love that. And you can find pluckysworld.com, pluckysworld.com. And she's listening in. She doesn't know what day it is, but she is listening. And she says her strength cards, the training sessions that she's been doing have got off to a very strong start. And it's amazing how it gets people who've just met chatting like old friends. So that's great. Her Plucky's World strength cards.
The lovely folks at Paragon Drones have been on. They say, hi, Paul and Jules. We would love a mention. Legal and financial guests are always great sources of helpful information and insights. Can't wait for the banter and music. Hashtag B-Bunker, hashtag cheesy tunes.
Neither can we. No. Where is the banter, Paul Andrews? I'm very sluggish today.
Yeah. Well,
we've had a very sensible conversation about teeth, I think.
Well, I'm not sure it was that sensible, if I'm really honest. The lovely folks at What's On in Kent. They say, we are What's On in Kent, the only app exclusively throughout Kent that promotes events, attractions, as well as local businesses and services. Partners can create their own profile and list their events, photos, description, and much, much more. Just scan the QR code below. So follow them on the Twitter. It's What's On in Kent. All one word, What's On in Kent is their Twitter handle. You can find their tweet to us, and there's a QR code there which will help you download the app. So do it.
Brilliant. We do like to know what's going on. Yeah. And Sarah Marsh Collings, you remember she was a B-Bunker guest. She's a lover of dogs, food and wine, and she's into digital marketing. You can find her at My Babel Monkey. And she says that they are just on their way back from Devon. So I expect they've had some lovely cream teas and cider. And she says, a shorter week for me and Jade Window Clean, driving back from Devon today. Have a brilliant show and great, you're back on form, Jules Serkin. Mm. So thank you for that, Sarah Marsh Collins. So hang on, Sarah Marsh Collins and Jade Window Clean are an item, are they?
Well, I just saw that and I drew the same conclusion.
Ooh, now, I wonder if they've just met via Business Bunker or if they've been an item.
Well, we might find out, or we might just be wrong. I mean, who knows? They may have accidentally bumped into each other in Devon and decided to share the journey back. Who knows?
Or maybe Jade Window Cleaner has a big round. Yeah. Very big round. Well, I need to know about the gossip.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. I did have a tweet, and I can't find it now, from the lovely Bev at Chips and Dinks. Anyway, they were saying, oh, hold on. Yeah. I hope you have yet another great Business Bunker show today. We're taking an extra day holiday to try to finish the garden and the jobs that we started on Friday, but we're aching and feeling our age. She says,
who's that? Yeah. Chips and Dinks.
Yeah, I said enjoy your day off. She said, I don't think I will really.
do you know, I didn't really do any jobs over Easter. I had a very relaxing. I mostly lolled in my hammock, with a lolling sort of attitude.
Right.
Which is why I've got stuff piled up on my chair in the bedroom. I'm asking if they're both an item because I'm interested.
Right.
There we are.
Tracy says, thank you for your mention for Plucky's World, strength cast jewels. And Paul, you continue to amaze me with your knowledge. Who knew about spiders' webs? Yeah, the reason I know is because I read historical novels and stuff like that. And it's always the kind of thing that they use to repair sword wounds and stab wounds and things.
Yes. Right, now, hang on. There's a Leeds Castle concert, Paul Andrews.
There is.
It's taking place. We do love a concert in Kent, and we do them very well. It's taking place on Saturday the 9th of July, so this is a diary date. And the organisers are delighted to announce two sensational female performers, Kelly Matheson and Louise Dearman. And they'll be taking to the stage, ensuring this spectacular event will be one to remember. And Scottish-born actress and singer Kelly Matheson will be making her debut performance. She made a name in the musical theatre industry when she landed the lead role of Christian Days in the original production of Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, wow.
In the West End. I saw that years ago.
Uh-huh.
Growing up, Kelly...
Did you see the one with Michael Crawford?
Yeah, coming through the audience with his mask on. Kelly trained firstly as a ballet dancer with the prestigious Scottish Ballet Company.
Prestigious!
Oh! But decided to focus her career path on classical singing at the Royal College of Music before transitioning into musical theatre. And let's talk about Louise Dearman. She's no stranger to the stage, and she's, as you know, she's mesmerised the audience with her performances last year. She's a British actress and most well known for playing the roles of Glinda and Elphaba. I don't know if I've said that right. E-L-P-H-A-B-A, Elphaba, in the West End production of Wicked, which my daughter took me to see, and it wasn't my bag. My daughter was mad on it, and many years ago we went to see it, and I found it very American.
Right.
A bit glossy for me.
Right.
But my daughter's seen it about 100 times. Anyway, she's a really charismatic singer that connects with the audience and makes everyone feel part of the performance. They also have the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
It's easy for you to say.
I know, with these teeth. They'll be returning with conductor and artistic director John Rigby. Making his hat trick. So how do you go there? You can purchase 10 or more tickets and receive a 10% discount. Brachers, the leading law firm in Kent, are the headline sponsor for the 6 year. And Leeds Castle, as you know, is located not near Leeds up north, but near Maidstone in Kent, just off Junction 8 of the M20 and only 1 hour's drive or train from London.
You can do Segway tours now around Leeds Castle
can
Gardens.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that those little wheelie things?
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite an electric scooter.
What you stand on.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
A few bottles of wine and the...
I don't think they'll allow that. Yeah.
Do they breathalyse them?
Yeah, probably.
So that's Saturday the 9th of July is your diary date for that. And you can obviously go on to the Leeds Castle website and find out more, or kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. Do you know what?
Cheesy tunage.
I think it's time for some cheesy tunage. After the tunage, we're going to hear from Pam Locke. Of Locke Associates, the employment lawyers specialists, and they're also health and wellbeing consultants. And I talked to Pam about the changing patterns of work. So I picked this because it's cheesy.
Something to do with patterns. Oh, My Baby Takes the Morning Train. What was her name? Don't tell me. Scottish singer. Anyway, My Baby Takes the Morning Train.
Sheena Easton,
yeah.
9 to 5.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show Pam Locke of Locke Associates, the HR law firm, and also wellness and health consultants. Pam, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Business Bunker show. It's a pleasure to see you.
Hi, Paul. It's great to be here again.
It's always good to talk to you. And I kind of want to go into a bit of an issue here that we're starting to see. The listeners can't see. I've got my Kenwood Trust hoodie on today. And Kenwood Trust, for those that don't know, is a residential charity that helps people with drink and drug addictions. And we've seen a massive increase in people reporting to us with specifically drink-related issues. I'd like to hear your views on what you're seeing from your point of view, both from, you know, for employment and in your wellness consulting.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because we've definitely seen an increase in issues being raised by clients. So we've got Locke Employment Law that provides legal advice, and we've got HR Advise, and it's an HR consultancy. So both businesses are seeing an increase in queries coming in, concerns being raised about their staff. We've got one situation, for example, where we've got individuals that appear to be self-medicating, as they call it, using alcohol. They've obviously recognised they've got an issue. The one thing they're not doing is acknowledging they're an alcoholic, because actually that's when we can make leaps forward in terms of trying to assist them. But it's becoming noticeable in the workplace, because either their performance has been affected or their behaviour is causing significant issues.
Yeah.
It's always a difficult one, because alcohol and drug addiction in itself is not a disability under the Equality Act.
Yeah.
But what you do find is sometimes there's symptoms, there's conditions that arise that are aligned with the addiction, such as depression, anxiety, or perhaps cirrhosis of the liver. These sort of conditions are a disability under the Equality Act. So employers need to be careful. Even if you've got an employee with less than 2 years' service, you can't simply dismiss them because you find out or you suspect they might have a drug or an alcohol issue.
Sure.
If you've got some knowledge, and that knowledge could simply be some awareness of symptoms that could indicate they might have a disability, then you're dealing with somebody that might have a claim to bring a discrimination claim in the future. So therefore, you need to be careful about how you deal with the situation.
Absolutely.
On the HR side of things, it's a similar sort of scenario, in that they've got concerns being raised about performance. How do we manage it? How do we deal with it? And we've had some situations where people have admitted they've got an alcohol problem. And then it's a question of how far do you want to assist them? You know, paying, for example, for private counselling might be a way to actually erase the, you know, sort out the situation, help the person be able to perform better at work. And as you know, at the moment, it's such a challenging recruitment market. You know, if you can actually help somebody to get better and remain at work,
absolutely,
it's a better solution than losing them and ending up having to try and find somebody else to replace them.
Yeah, that's not available. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Pam. There's a number of threads that, if I may, that I want to kind of pursue in that. The starting point is, in your opinion, what's the root cause of some of this? I mean, there's a myriad of reasons why this happens, but I'm supposing that the lockdown is behind quite a lot of this, in terms of when I know I don't drink, I'm teetotal, so but I actually put on a lot of weight while we were locked down, because I just ate biscuits all day. So I'm assuming lockdown had a part to play. The fact that people are working remotely and maybe are suffering from stress and therefore self-medicating to try and overcome that. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. And actually, the stats sort of are backing that up as well. So the latest reports we had were looking at 2021. And they're saying that 9 out of 10 people have admitted to drinking alcohol while working from home this year.
Really? That high?
That
nine
high.
9 out of 10. Wow.
When I say this year, that was last year, but, you know, it could even have got worse, because let's face it, it's, you know, 2022, we're only just into it, but it's not, it's been a challenging year so far.
Yeah.
And it is concerning from a health and safety perspective, you know, because again, employers sometimes forget that they have an obligation to look after the health and safety of workers in their home as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't ignore that, but also, you know, equally, how much drinking is going on and how does it affect the performance?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a sort of productivity perspective as well as a health and safety concern. You know, some people in the survey were saying their consumption ranged from just a glass or two with lunch to getting through a whole bottle of wine a day.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong, pre-COVID, I'm not saying that there was no drinking taking place during the day, because let's face it, you know, some people do go out for lunch and they had some glasses of wine.
Yeah.
But, you know, people drinking at home, you know, to some extent, there isn't anybody else there with them, potentially, sort of to control the consumption, and they might just continue on for the afternoon and then potentially into the evening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 8 in 10 said they drank while working from home at least twice a week.
Wow.
And 93% said they consumed more alcohol during the pandemic than they had previously. So these are quite startling statistics. So I've got no doubt COVID has played a part, both in terms of people using drugs and alcohol to deal with anxiety, or to deal with potentially boredom, because they may have been stuck at home and they're bored and, you know, they're reaching for some alcohol to sort of make it an easier sort of life to live. But yeah, I think COVID's had a big part to play. And I think the other aspect, of course, is people coming back to work. You know, what we think we're experiencing are some people that are coming back to work and actually recognising their consumption has been too high, and they're trying to, you know, reduce it, and they're finding some difficulty. Now, we're talking about people that maybe were drinking significant amounts, trying to almost go cold turkey, and then they're going off sick because they're not able to cope with it. And obviously, some people don't want to admit that they think they've got an addiction or a serious abuse problem.
Absolutely. Now, I want to kind of focus on the other side for a little bit now, if I may. And I'm going to start off by telling you a story. I have told this on the radio before. 35 years ago, when I worked for a big corporate organization, we were sent on senior management training, and we did a lot of role plays. And the biggest role play was confronting an employee that we suspected of having an alcohol problem. It was filmed, and there were half a dozen of us doing this role play, and we all did what most people do. We kind of, are you all right? Is everything okay? You know, da, da, da. And we had a guy from Johannesburg office. He came, he was sat there, and the actor playing the supposedly drunk employee walked into the office and went to sit down. He went, I don't know why you're sitting down. You're fired. You're drunk. Out. Now, we're not going to go down that route. But from an employer's point of view, this kind of thing is one of the hardest things to deal with, I think.
Yes.
You know, because you've got to confront someone with your fears or assumptions. And I know from experience with the charity, a lot of people don't admit it themselves.
Yeah.
So even if they have a problem, they will swear blind they don't. And that makes it incredibly difficult, because you can't accuse someone of something, especially if they don't agree with you. You know, how do we do this? How do we handle the initial assessment of someone's well-being at work when we suspect that they have this kind of problem?
I think it depends on each situation, to be honest, because and how it sort of presents itself in terms of being an issue. So, you know, quite often it may well be performance aspects. It could be behavioural changes. Mm. So, for example, I had a case once where a client was concerned about a dip in their performance in the afternoon. When I asked about it, they said that their behaviour seemed to change in the afternoon. And I said, is there anything that happens at lunchtime that you've noticed? Because, you know, for me, it was sort of indicating there might be some sort of habitual issue here.
Yeah.
And they said, well, the person seems very keen to fix their car. And I said, really? I said, are you sure they're fixing their car? And they said, well, we'll watch the next time. So anyway, they went out and watched. And actually, what they were doing was that, you know, you've got your screen washer plastic container in your car.
Right.
They had filled that full of vodka. And what they were doing was filling up little vodka miniature bottles.
Right.
And so obviously what they'd done was they had obviously topped up in the morning when they woke up. And then there was further topping up. And that then resulted in their behaviour changing in the afternoon, because they possibly had too much of the screen washer vodka. So it's amazing what people will do, because even when confronted, that person denied that they had an issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, yes, you're right. They need to admit they've got a problem before you can help. So quite often what you might need to do is, for example, if somebody's off sick, we always recommend you do a return to work meeting with them and sit across face to face and ask them how they're feeling, find out what was wrong with them, and try and dig deeper if it's, you know, stomach issues, colds, you know, just to sort of try and ascertain is there some other issue that's underlying it you need to get to you know, to the core and find out if you can help. Now, sometimes it's not somebody going off sick. It could be, as I mentioned earlier, change of performance, attitude problems. And so therefore it's arranging a meeting with them to talk to them about, look, you don't seem yourself. We've noticed you're changing behaviour. Is there anything, you know, can you explain why that's happening? It's trying to tease out of them. Now, if they don't admit they've got an issue, then as an employer, unless there's, you know, assuming there's no other indicators really that you've got a disability, then what you're looking at is really then having to put them through a proper process. Now, that might mean if they've got less than 2 years service and they don't have any issues around disability that you're aware of, you can remove them quite quickly from your business. If it's more than 2 years, then they've got the right not to be unfairly dismissed. So you've got to make sure that you go through proper processes, carry out an investigation, and then do a disciplinary meeting, or you go through a capability process, depending on what the issue is.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you might end up dismissing them.
Yeah.
And you might do that in the knowledge that you think they've got a problem. But if they're not admitting it, you can't actually then sort of, you know, they can't, you can't say to them, look, by the way, I think you've got an alcohol problem. I think that's why you're doing it. Because, you know, then I think you're on a hide into nothing there.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the best that could happen is they go,
absolutely. So
But that's not likely to happen. And you're right. I mean, the other thing that kind of throws a spanner in the works for some of this is I know quite a few, not huge numbers, but quite a few environments where there is actually a drinking culture at work anyway.
And I mean, we've got, you know, we're busy working with clients and sort of, I mean, some of them have already got drinking alcohol policies, but what they're also looking at is really, you know, increasing their sort of involvement in terms of sort of proactively sort of doing more testing. So introducing random testing, sometimes introducing stop and searches, so they can actually, you know, go into somebody's bag and check to see whether they're taking drugs or whatever. Now, obviously, you will have some environments where you cannot, there's absolute zero tolerance around alcohol and drug abuse. I mean, we've got clients for health and safety reasons why, you know, they couldn't have anybody taking drink and they're or using drugs, and they've already got policies in place. And you do have to be very careful because you need to make sure you've got a contractual right to do these things. So it's not just a case of one day waking up and thinking, do you know what, I'm going to do some random drug and alcohol testing. You need to make sure you've got your policies, you've got your contracts, and also make staff aware of it. So they know you're not going to tolerate this, and actually this is how we're going to manage it. So that basically give them an opportunity to stop doing it themselves rather than you coming in with heavy boots and then, as I say, potentially risking losing somebody who might be actually able to sort themselves out and get off and stop drinking alcohol, etc.
Interestingly, Kenwood Trust have had quite a lot of success with a program that we do, both in schools and colleges, but also in workplaces, where we come along and just go, these are some of the indicators of problem drinking. You know, so just a general seminar to everybody. And what you do is you don't accuse anybody of doing it. You go, you know, if you ever notice your colleagues behaving in these ways, it might be worth having a word with them. You know, so you're raising awareness amongst your workforce that it's an issue that you're aware of, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the only thing you tend to find is you might have one person sort of looking at, you know, looking around the room saying, oh, well, we know who that's targeted.
You're going to go, they're talking about you, Fred.
I think it's a brilliant idea. It's a fantastic idea doing stuff like that. I think at the moment, I don't think you can, you can't make assumptions about who you think might be abusing alcohol or drugs. And that's the thing, is you don't know who it is. And I mean, with these sort of statistics, that's a large number of people that in your workplace now that may have been taking too much, you know, alcohol or drugs in the past and maybe continuing to do that to function. So there's this, obviously, you'll have come across that term of functioning alcoholics, people that actually are able to continue carrying out their work, but at all times they're actually doing so under the influence of alcohol or drugs.
Absolutely. Pam, if I may, I'd like to move on now for the last few minutes of this chat and ask you about another thing that I've seen recently. We had someone write a blog for us called I Quit, and they were highlighting the fact that there's a huge number of people over the last 2 years that have quit their jobs and not come back into the workforce, but they haven't gone on to claim benefits, as far as we can tell. So they become what we call in the business economically inactive. Is that something that you're aware of and something you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly, read quite a bit about it. I mean, I know how challenging it is trying to recruit from personal experience as well. But I mean, you know, because I'm talking to clients all the time, and that is the big issue they've got, is recruiting staff.
Yeah.
And reading around it and listening to, you know, commentary on it, there's no doubt that this large group of people that have dropped out of the market, it's played a part in the inability for us to be able to fill positions. I mean, obviously, there's other factors here as well.
Yeah.
We know that Brexit's had a big impact because staff who've gone back home haven't come back again.
Yeah.
But I think there's a huge, huge issue here. Yeah. And it would be, I've read that there's obviously a number of reasons why people have decided they don't want to go back to work. I mean, one of it is because they've reevaluated their lives and they decided actually, you know, life is too short. I don't know what's going to happen next week. Mm. I don't want to put myself in a situation where, you know, I've got to work and I don't need to work. So why should I do it?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I do wonder whether that'll change again.
Yeah.
You know, in a period of time, we'll see a sort of reversal of that. People think, actually, I want to do something.
Yeah. I mean, not least of which, we've got a massive inflationary bubble about to happen and the cost of living's going through the roof. However, they're funding themselves at the moment isn't going to last long because your average gas bill is going to take most of that out.
Very true.
It's interesting, isn't it? Some of the other reasons I can see is people were sent to work at home, enjoyed the lack of 4 hours of commuting, have been ordered back to work and are going, I don't want to come back to work. I liked working at home. And a lot of people have gone, well, sorry, but we want you back. So they've quit instead.
The reality is, though, is that if they came onto the market now looking for a job, they would find a significant number of employers whose attitudes have changed. And they are much more willing to allow staff to work from home.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt if you're not flexible as an employer and you allow staff to work from home, then you are putting yourself at significant disadvantage to be able to recruit new starters.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I have a friend that owns a small chain of hotels. And as you just highlighted, the hospitality industry was hit really badly by the lack of European staff working in there. And they've struggled enormously. But on top of that, he has had people leave his business and take jobs paying up to $10,000 a year less so that they could work at home in a call center. It's bonkers, but you know, that's where people have got to now. And we've kind of built that environment for them and they've kind of taken to it to some extent. But I think you're right. I think it's one of those things that, like a lot of things, it's attractive for a little while, but then there comes a point where, you know, lots of other things set in, like boredom and lack of human contact with other people cut in. But we do live in a world now where, from an employment point of view, flexibility is everything. You know, working from home, we've also got a big movement to move to a 4-day week. So all of these things are kind of impacting it, but as you quite rightly say, the recruitment, there's 1.3 million unfilled jobs in the UK at the moment, which is kind of really scary. It's really hard.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's very worrying. I mean, you know, and it does put a lot of pressure on the people that are at work.
Exactly.
Because there's gaps in the teams, obviously, and therefore people having to pick up extra work, which is putting them under additional pressure. And the one thing that employers... I do feel there has been a slight taking their foot off the pedal in terms of looking after the wellbeing of the staff.
Right.
And I think that's now changing. We're starting to get more inquiries again about mental health training, and raising awareness around mental health issues. But I do think that's worth aligning up with the drug and alcohol issue as well, because to some extent they're intertwined.
Yeah, of course.
But I think there has been, unfortunately, people have just been focused on getting back to work and, yeah, okay, we've got to try and help them get back to work. But actually... unfortunately, job's not over, even if we get them back, you know, you get staff back to work or they're working well at home. There are potential issues that are still stored up because of the impact of the last 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the disruption, you know, the constant changing of how you're doing your work and all kinds of things. No,
and we also can't underestimate the impact of the Ukrainian war on people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, obviously we been very fortunate. We're not living in Ukraine and with the fear and stress and you know, they're undergoing, but it does psychologically affect people watching it, and again, it's another change that's also impacting us in terms of, you know, how we live and our economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we see stories like P&O. you know, least said about that, the better. Okay. Pam, as always, it's fascinating talking to you. Some fantastic insights and advice there. If people want to find out more about the work you do, both the legal work and health and wellbeing work, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk.
Fantastic. Pam, thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show. A pleasure, as always, to talk to you. And we'll see you again soon.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Ah, welcome back. It's Pam Locke of Locke Associates, the HR lawyers and wellbeing consultants, talking about the new paradigm in the world of work.
And we've had quite a few comments about the lovely Pam Locke and the interview with Locke Associates. So the Tracy Ferguson, she's Tazy64 on the Twitter. She says, a fabulous interview with Pam of Locke Associates. Some great insights. And I agree with Pam. I think there are lots of impacts from the last couple of years, which we haven't even seen yet. Good thoughts there.
I'm just going to throw some numbers at you. With this,
and you know, I'm a numerate.
Yeah, yeah. Pam and I were talking about this the other day.
Lucky
as well.
We've got an accountant in the studio.
we ought to say we have been joined by Malcolm Palmer of A4G, who's our guest for the second part of the show.
And he came by train.
He came by train.
Very
yeah.
impressed.
Choo choo. But just going back to talking about the most unusual situation that we find ourselves in with the world of work these days. With the changing pattern of what people are doing. Currently in the UK, we have 1.3 million unfilled job vacancies. It's almost impossible to hire anyone.
Sounds like the right travel now. Industry is pretty desperate.
Well, everyone's desperate. You know, hospitality, construction, everyone's desperate to hire people right across the board. We've got 1.3 million job vacancies. We've got 1.1 million unemployed. But the interesting statistic is there are 8.8 million economically inactive people.
Wow.
And that's people
huge.
That's people that aren't working but aren't claiming universal benefit, so they could be retired or whatever. But that's an increase in 6 months of 600,000 people.
So do you reckon these are people that went on furlough and then
never came back?
Liked it.
And never came back.
And were self-sufficient enough to stay.
Yeah, I don't think they'll last long because with the cost of living going the way it is and inflation going the way it is, they're going to struggle.
Or are they doing jobs that they can just get a little bit of cash?
Black market jobs, it's possible, although I'm not really aware of that, you know.
I was trying to find, my mum is 92, and I was trying to find just someone to come and...
You're trying to find her some work?
Get down the mines.
Yeah.
No, just someone to come
up a chimney. Roof, get your brushes out, love. She's going to get you up a chimney.
Her name's Ruth, by the way.
Yeah.
But just someone to come and sort of sweep her garden, because she goes out and sweeps and things, then she falls over because they get wobbly, you know. Yeah. And then I end up, you know, 8 hours in A&E. At Margate on the hottest day of the year, which is not pleasant. But you cannot find You can get a gardener, if you're lucky, that's 30 quid an hour or something, yeah, somebody yeah. qualified. But you can't find an old-fashioned odd job bloke anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where have they all gone?
I don't know. That's that, you
They've
can't
grown
find
up and gone
you,
on.
You can't find anyone. You know, I mean.
And what happened to Bobber Job? Do you remember Bobber Job?
That's illegal now.
Is it?
Yeah, you can't exploit.
She'd have
children.
A little cub or a little scout or.
You know, the scout stopped Bobber Job week some 20 years ago.
Oh, that's how old I am.
Yeah.
But I mean, my kids used to go around and mow people's lawns for a couple of bob.
Who knows about that side of things? But it is the most bizarre thing I've. In 30 years in running recruitment businesses, I've never seen anything like it.
I know.
It is just the most bizarre thing.
Let's hope with the Ukrainian, you know, if we get some skill, we are going to get some skills from the Ukrainians, chefs and hospitality, let's hope. Once they're settled.
Sure, but it's just not happening. We're just not seeing people going to work. It's just not happening.
I think the whole debacle of seeing the queues at the Manchester airport and Heathrow and Gatwick with I don't want to go on a plane if there's no pilot or anything because they just haven't got anyone.
Yeah. I don't think you go far if they haven't got a pilot, to be perfectly frank.
They're probably, you know, just snake somebody in, you know, just get somebody in, some freelance pilot.
We could get some Ukrainian tractor drivers. They're pretty good at moving stuff about, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness.
I've never seen anything so bizarre, and I can't see it being sustainable because the cost of living is going through the roof, and you know, how are people going to maintain a lifestyle of any kind?
I know, and food, of course, has just gone up. I've been charging around my house and turning off everything, and I turn off the Alexas in the rooms we're not using.
And your new husband,
turning off.
Yeah.
As opposed to turning him on.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've got four Alexas in our house. Don't ask why. But in his little bathroom, he listens to BBC World Service and when he's having a shower and everything. And I've gone and turned that off and he gets very annoyed because then at night when he's brushing his teeth, he has to wait for her to wake up.
Mm.
But I think it's quite... And I also unplug the guest room where the kids come.
Mm.
I unplug their toothbrush when they're not here. Is that a wise thing to do? Little electric toothbrush. Am I wasting my time here?
I have no idea. Well, if it makes you feel better,
we need an energy. Bob Beattie might know.
No,
they're whirring away, aren't they?
Yeah, no, there is a big thing that you're wasting electricity by having things on standby. That is true.
And I turn my telly off, and we've got really good. Now, this is on my insistence. Our Wi-Fi automatically goes off. Biddy Dean, my geek. Resident geek.
Are you sure that that's a wise thing?
Yeah.
With the amount of problems you get with technology, are you sure that's wise?
It automatically goes off at midnight and it comes on at 6.
I want to ask you a question. Have you got Alexa to play this radio station yet?
No.
I'm telling you what's wrong.
I've tried all the things.
I'll tell you what's wrong. You've got too many Alexas in your house and you don't know which one is the master one, so you're telling the wrong one.
I thought the master one was in the kitchen, but I'm going to... Now Easter's over, I'm going to go and talk to all of them. And if not, you'll have to come around and do it.
What you need to do is get all your Alexas in one room and get them to hold a conference and go, Alexa, enable skills, channel radio.
Have you got just one?
Yeah.
Alexa?
Well, no. Lucy, my daughter's got an Echo.
Okay, so what we do is, new husband, he cooked me breakfast this morning. I had scrambled eggs, all organic bacon. I'll put a picture on later. It was very nice. And some Manny's Chewits to go with it, you know, the Passover crackers.
I don't know what they are. They're
Passover crackers, yeah.
Are they? What are they like? Are they salty?
They're really nice. They're a bit like a water biscuit.
Right, okay, got it.
So we had Manny's Chewits.
Is that like Matzov or whatever they're called?
Yeah, Matzo.
Yeah, okay.
But I shouldn't really have them because they're gluten. But you can get gluten-free ones, but, you know, then I'd have eaten those and both. I've got no willpower, Paul Andrews.
I know.
I need to grow some. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So when I was getting ready with the dog downstairs, because my bedroom's downstairs, he will zoom into my bedroom, Alexa.
Hold on, the dog or Gavin?
No, not the dog. She's not that.
Oh, right, okay.
She's a greyhound.
I lost the plot for a minute there.
She has no brain. So he will zoom, the new husband will zoom in from the kitchen. He'll say, lock in, drop in to the bedroom, Alexa. And he'll say, breakfast is ready, ding dong. And then he goes, drop out, and then he drops out. So it's all, you know, it's very technical, all this in our house. It's all mod cons. The other thing I don't like about Alexa.
I don't know what to say, Malcolm. I don't know what to say. If you knew, we've been doing this show together for 14 years, and if you knew how many shows we've done with her going, well, technology doesn't work.
I don't really like geek stuff. I don't like admin.
I'll ring Billy Dean and get him over here again to look at it. Billy Dean's our technical support man.
I get him around all the time. But now, of course, they can just come on your screen, can't they?
But
I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. Spotify, I've got amazing, because I listen to a lot of music, and I find, without mentioning any station's name, some of them have got now too many adverts about the shows they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Not our station, of course, not Channel Radio, but other ones that I might have worked for previously. So you're listening to something, and then, A, they're trying to make it for a younger audience, and so I'm listening to, I don't know, Sugar Dolls or whatever they're called. I listen to this music and think, oh my god, what's this? So I've got my own really, really good playlist, lots of funk and soul and stuff I like on Spotify, and it's beautiful, it works beautifully. So I did the same thing on Alexa. I've got my classical reading playlist, and I've got my party dance playlist. And you say to her, Alexa, shuffle my music. And she says she can't shuffle. So I say, play my music, and she says, shuffling your music. What's that all about? And then she plays the same stuff over and over again. So now she's made me hate some of my music because she just repeats it. So she doesn't actually shuffle it properly like Spotify.
Right.
So actually, I prefer Spotify.
Have you tried a different command, like random or something? Randomize it or something?
I don't know. You'll have to hop round.
Maybe she doesn't understand shuffling.
Yeah, pop round.
Maybe she plays Lonnie Donegan if you ask her to shuffle.
Yeah, but then
not
she
many
says,
people would get that, I have to say.
Only our age. I mean, Malcolm's nodding in a congenial way. You'll have to hop round. I'll do you a bit of Hoggit on a Big Green Egg, and you can play with all my whatevers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to play with your whatevers.
It's quite a lot of Twitters coming in.
You can read one, because in 2 minutes we're going to cut to the Channel Radio newsroom.
Well, the lovely Zeenat Noorani of the Wellbeing Show is, which is every Friday, about 10:15 or 30.
10:30.
Thank you. She of the Biscuits. She says, listening to Pam Locke, flexibility is part of growth. Totally agree. There's no point in getting back to work if mental health and well-being is not looked after. It should be top of the pyramid. Yes, thank you. And she's used the Bee Bunker hashtag. Very admirable.
Mm.
So thank you for that.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, this is part of the whole thing, isn't it? That, you know, for 2 years we've been scared stupid by various institutions telling us we're all going to die of the flu and everything else and all the other stuff that's gone with it, and we've been locked down for 2 years. And people are kind of just still quite reticent about going out and doing stuff, which is why I think a lot of people have not applied for new jobs.
Well, this is why somebody said, actually, Susanna from the Good Shed phoned me up to see how I was. And she said, were you anxious when you had COVID? And I said, well, we've had all this. I thought I was going to end up, you know, prone on a ventilator because of the propaganda that we've seen, you know, way back. And I said, actually, I'm elated that I've had it, because it's like I feel better.
Yeah.
You know, it's out of the way, and I've done it, and I'm not skulking about. Look, I've only sprayed my air sanitizer once.
Oh, she's spraying again. Go away.
Yes.
Horrible stuff. Anyway,
it's just water.
We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When Let's we come back, out. We've got actually somebody sensible to
Malcolm
talk to. We're going to talk to Malcolm. So here we go. Channel Radio.
Find out what's going on.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
A cabinet minister has argued that the Prime Minister did not mislead Parliament over the so-called Partygate allegations, having initially insisted that coronavirus guidance was followed in number 10. It comes as the Prime Minister prepares to make a full-throated apology to MPs after paying a fine issued by police for attending a birthday bash in breach of COVID law. Brandon Lewis says the PM has paid and accepted the fixed penalty notice.
He's accepted the